Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Thanks for joining us here, whether it's at baseballamerica.com or on iTunes. We're coming to you from the DeMarini Demo House podcast nook, and we're reminding you that when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right and visit your nearest Demo House today. Locations and full details can be found at demarini.com/demohouse. Aaron, a great weekend for college baseball. I wouldn't have wanted to be in the Demo House this weekend. I would have wanted to be outside watching baseball games and where bats were actually being used. And we talked a little bit. There's been a little bit of churn in the top 10, but it's not necessarily been teams coming out and teams coming in. It's really been consistently the same top 10 or 15 teams, it seems like, this year. A little bit of changeover at the top of the rankings this week, but I guess the main reason is that a lot of those top teams have been playing each other or playing other good teams, and we're settling on the field, which is a great thing.
Yeah, you're right, and it feels like Virginia has been involved with the marquee showdown of the weekend in about four different weeks this year.
Yeah,
and they won all of them. You know, obviously they had their series hiccup last weekend at NC State, but so we had that deliberation at the top this week, Virginia or UCLA. Arizona State finally lost a series on the road up at Washington State. Number two, Georgia Tech, lost a road series, its first real test of the year up in Virginia. Came down to UCLA and Virginia. Bruins, of course, won a road series, a big road series at Oregon State against a ranked team. They did lose the midweek game against Fullerton, but they've been so consistent on the year. We gave them the nod over Virginia. I think you could make a – if you have a fine argument over whose body of work is more impressive, I don't think it's clear. I still think Virginia has played the tougher schedule. I know that maybe not at the bottom, maybe the numbers say it's not as tough. But
right. I think on the weekends, it's been tougher. I don't think there's a question. That, to me, there's no question. Virginia's has been tougher on the weekends.
But that said, UCLA has been so consistent. This is a great series win. They have not lost a series. They were ranked higher last week, and so they moved up to number one for the first time in a couple of years.
Yeah, and you can really, I guess, thank that that 16-inning gem on Saturday, which must have been a great college baseball game to watch in some ways, unless you like a ton of runs, unless you really love offense.
It was awfully long, too. It was one of those six-plus-hour West Coast gems. So not only was it 16 innings, but it was a long 16-inning game.
Well, and the thing is, you have George Horton. I'm talking not George Horton. You have the Rick Vanderhook kind of offense and what they do. They're going to skill it up. And you have Oregon State. And Pat Casey and John Savage have been going against each other a long time, both when Savage was at USC, now UCLA. He's been the head coach there, what, now 6 years?
Feels about right.
7 years. So they've seen each other. They know all each other's tricks. A sad week for Beaver Nation this week, as both Kevin Gunderson and Jonah Nickerson. Nickerson retires from pro baseball. Gundy released by the Braves. You might see him ending up in the Golden League or something.
Kevin Gunderson is going to guarantee that he'll be back in organized baseball.
I think Aaron Fitt's guaranteeing that for Kevin Gunderson. He gave you one guarantee, now you're giving him one back.
Right.
But I think the Bruins, you know, the argument against them is that they're 3-3 in their last six games. The argument for them is they won their first 22.
Yeah.
And they haven't lost a weekend series. And ultimately, for me, that was what did is they haven't lost a weekend series. Virginia has, but I do think the real loser in all this weekend was Georgia Tech. Aaron, obviously we like Georgia Tech's talent. That's why they were number two. They were ranked high coming into the preseason. But the Yellow Jackets had a big test this weekend, their third conference road series. The first two were at Maryland, which a series they should win. They really should have swept. And at North Carolina, where they got a sweep, and the Tar Heels are fairly they're mediocre by their own lofty standards this year.
I think that's correct.
We'll put it that way. So that was their most impressive series win. But this weekend, their first – weekend against a ranked team, and they didn't pass that test.
But you know what? To me, you know, you're playing at Virginia, which I think is
tough match.
I think it's just about the best team in the country. I mean, certainly on a very, very, very short list.
There's no way you argue Virginia's not in the top three teams in the country.
That's right.
Just in terms of talent and in terms of resume.
Right. That's not a series that any team should win. I mean, Virginia should win that series at home against any team.
You're right.
So Georgia Tech goes up there, wins one game. I mean, that's not a bad weekend for me. I think they did exactly what I expected them to do, in fact.
I think UCLA
They didn't pass the test.
I wouldn't say they failed, though, either.
Right.
Right. If they would have failed if they'd gotten swept.
Exactly.
The only team I would favor going into Virginia on a weekend might be UCLA when Garrett Cole's throwing well. But right now, He's a little off his game, it seems. Yeah. So
I think in a Cole Holtzman matchup right now,
I take Holtzman. Yeah, I agree. I think we're not saying that he's a better prospect.
Yeah.
But Cole's been a little rougher patch, again, by his pretty lofty standard when he's been good.
Yeah, it's amazing. The guy has walked, you know, seven guys, something like that, the last 3 weeks, but he still hasn't given up many runs. He only gave up one run this past week over six plus innings and walked seven.
I think the best sign for me for UCLA also is the fact that on Sunday, after the first couple games of the series, they struggle to score some runs. Oregon State does have depth in their pitching staff, so you're still facing somebody good. It's not like a Sunday Florida State, Wake Forest 17-16 game.
Right.
UCLA was able to put up runs. That was the only real question for me is for any of these Pac-10 teams. For Arizona State, it's going to be can they hold down good offenses when they see them, because I still wonder about their pitching without Josh Spence, especially their starting pitching, their bullpen I have a lot of faith in. Even though they blew a game this weekend.
Yeah, Mitchell Lampson, uncharacteristically, I think he was responsible for both of those losses.
And it is, you know, that's the first letdown for Arizona State all year, their first series loss all year. And so they fall from the number one spot. But that was the encouraging thing for me for UCLA. Let's talk a little bit about the whole Pac-10 here. And the Pac-10 looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
We brought in California this week. We dropped out Stanford. Stanford, a team that has talent, but probably not ready for prime time. Let's put it that way.
They're not.
And they really have some real issues on the mound, which you have talked about repeatedly this year. Even when they were going pretty well, their lack of pitching depth was hurting them in midweek games. And on the weekend, the guy who's supposed to be their bell cow, Brett Mooneyham, not getting the job done.
Right. And Scott Snodgrass, same deal. I mean, those two guys just haven't thrown enough strikes. And Mooneyham got through eight or more than that this weekend, eight plus maybe. He had a good week. He still walked a bunch of guys, but he was a much better week. That's encouraging. But
they'll take that every week out of Brett Mooneyham.
Yeah, but Stanford to me is they were in the top 25 last week because there was nobody else to bring in. I don't think any of us were comfortable with them being in the top 25, and they had a really bad week. So that said, they're still talented.
Right, they're talented. They're ninth in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, Oregon has a really good resume. Oregon has three series losses, but they're all on the road. They played 18 of their first 31 on the road.
Arizona State series was at home, but it was against Arizona
State.
That's
right. They lost a series at Arizona. They lost a series at Hawaii, which is really the biggest blotch for them is they lost three out of four at Hawaii. But Arizona and Oregon are both 4-5. Both those teams could have been ranked, and we ended up ranking Arizona this week because they won the head-to-head with Oregon.
You know, in Arizona, to me, the resume, even though they haven't gone, you know, they haven't played away from home very much. They did win a road series this week, which was encouraging.
After
they got swept last week at Cal, they bounced
back
nicely. They did win a series against Fullerton at home.
Right.
They swept New Mexico two midweek. They swept Wichita two midweek. To me, it's a pretty good resume.
I agree. And Washington State won a series this weekend against Arizona State. Washington's done some pretty good things in the first year of the Lindsey Meggs administration. And they're talking about Oregon State, UCLA, Arizona State at the top of the league. The team we didn't expect to see there right now is Cal, and Cal has run eight straight games. This is a team with some hitting talent. You got Chris behind the plate, the sophomore catcher. You got Dixon Anderson, the sophomore eligible right-hander at the front of the rotation.
Yep.
You got probably, in terms of numbers, the best hitter in the West Coast, not only Arizona State's team, Mark Canna.
Yeah.
I mean, just on numbers, obviously he's not as good as Christian Colon or Gary Brown. Not as good a prospect, but I think he's going to go in the first four rounds, because he hits.
You know, and Eric Johnson's really been at the front of their rotation.
Yeah, you're right. He's been their Friday guy. You're right.
He's got a good arm. I mean, they've got some nice arms. They've got some decent bats. I mean, they have played better than I thought that they would.
And they have a freshman, and Justin Jones has been out. So they have three.
And he was a high profile guy. I think he was.
Yeah, no, he was a big. He was a big deal.
Sixth round pick or
something like that. I think it is a sixth round pick. The point is, Cal does have talent. That's just not news, though. They've had talent frequently in the Dave Esker era, starting with last year when they had Brett Jackson and Smith, and there's another guy who was getting drafted. And 2 years ago, they had Tyson Ross, who's down in the big leagues. Coburn is the other guy. But 2 years ago, they had all those guys, plus Tyson Ross, plus David Cooper.
Right.
They have had talent. Talent has never been the issue, really, at Cal, not under Dave Esker.
Sure. He's going back further with Brendan Morrow.
Right. Absolutely. Now, they've had guys drafted throughout this decade. Ex-Navy, if you want to go back further, 10 years ago.
Brendan Bosch and...
what is the other donkey's name? I can't remember the other donkey outfielder's name. But, yeah, they've had talent. Exactly. They've had talent at Cal. So talent's not the issue. This year they're winning games, which I think is newsworthy. And they're even doing it without some of the guys who are the guys who were touted. Some of the guys like Danny O and Brian Gwynn aren't having big years for them, but they are athletic. They can pitch. We just talked about some of the arms they have. I think they have some issues in their bullpen. And they have we'll see how Cal shakes out. But 6-3 in the league, tied with Arizona State at the top of the Pac-10. How many bids realistically do you see the Pac-10 getting here?
It feels like a six-bid league. I mean, it's hard to imagine them getting more than that. I don't think they've ever gotten.
I don't think they've ever gotten six. Yeah.
I think five is the most they've gotten. Of course, they haven't had a full.
They haven't had ten for the last 2 years.
Before, right. So, I think they can get six this year. It feels like they should get that many. Arizona State, UCLA, and Oregon State feel like locks.
Yeah.
Cal has played itself certainly in a position to be in.
I think, and Oregon, too. I mean, Oregon.
Right now, Oregon
and Arizona
in.
Are in the mix. There's no doubt.
Right now, Oregon and Arizona would be in as well, and you'd have to think about Washington State again.
I think so, too. Yeah, Washington State. I think right now the odd man out here is clearly the Trojans, and that is, it's actually, and the thing is, I keep saying it's weird, it's not weird. Southern Cal has a bit of regionals. This will be the eighth time in 9 years, and it's hard to see a scenario where Southern Cal climbs out of that, and it's very questionable when you have 4 years of Chad Kruder. And he's been the head coach there for 4 years, and they haven't sniffed regionals. Talk about a team that had talent. Three guys drafted in the first two rounds last year with Stock, Boxberger, and Grant Green, and no regional. That's one that's one to watch. That's a situation to watch. That's the nicest way to put that. The Baseball America podcast, I'm John Manuel. He's Aaron Fitt. We have questions into us at the podcast at baseballamerica.com email inbox, and you can also send those to us on Facebook. At facebook.com/baseballamerica. So I'll read a couple of those. Which one do you want to read here, Aaron? Do you want the one about Texas teams and those teams in the NCAA bubble?
Sure.
They're our first 64-team projected field last weekend, part of our midseason update. And Reggie, who likes to join us from Texas, and we appreciate the download, Reggie, and the question. Reggie asked us about our views on Texas, quote-unquote, but kind of bubble teams basically in Texas. How many bids will the Southland Conference get? For example, is Texas State an at-large team? What about fringe Big 12 teams such as Texas A&M and Baylor? And then Rice, which right now, Aaron, Rice is the top team in Conference USA, which is, I think, what we expected coming into the year. But no one wants to win that league. And that league is, if it's not careful, going to be like a two-bid league.
It's in danger of that. It really
is. You could maybe argue one bid if it's not careful. If Tulane or East Carolina does not step forward. Southern Miss taking a giant step backwards. Getting swept this weekend by who again? I forget who swept
it
them.
It was UCF.
That's it. Central Florida, which, you know, big win for Rooney.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, UCF is now second in that league, and their resume is not that strong.
Yeah, it's a mess. That league is just a mess. And UAB, the team that I thought had some momentum last week, they lost the series this week to Marshall.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, Rice right now is the team that's going to win the league. I'm telling you,
you said it last week. You said it 2 weeks ago. You said it 3 weeks ago. Even when they were struggling for most,
and they're still not playing great. But you started to see the last two games this weekend. They started to swing the bats a little bit. They should score a lot of runs against everybody in this league, even Tulane, which I think has a decent pitching staff.
But they hammered Tulane.
They hammered Tulane.
But one of the games they won, they hammered Tulane. Does any of the teams in this league have any hope of getting at large bids other than Rice?
Right now, the RBI would say no. I mean, Tulane, I think, has the best resume of the other teams.
Yeah.
And they're, what, in the 60s right now in the
61.
RBI?
61.
East Carolina's down by, 99 right now, according to Boyd's.
That's brutal. That is really brutal.
And you shouldn't play three games against NC Central. I mean, that's just poor scheduling.
You know, and that's the thing. I think you look at that. I'm sure there's going to be an article or there could be something written about why teams like, say, North Carolina, why aren't you playing North Carolina Central? That's why you don't play NC Central. Yeah. I mean, Iona's probably thinking to himself, God, why do we play NC Central? Why do we put them on the schedule?
Right.
We kill our RPI. I mean, it's difficult. And I mean, I hate to say that about any team, but it's just the reality kind of is what it is. But
yeah.
I think Conference USA, I think Rice is the only team in Conference USA, even with their poor start, that has a shot. That right now can look at it and say, we don't win the conference tournament, but if we win the league regular season, we'll probably get an at-large bid.
I think Rice will because it played a good non-conference schedule.
Right. They didn't win those games.
Well, I mean, they won some of them. You know, I think it's easy to say they didn't live up to our expectations, so they clearly tanked.
They didn't win enough of them. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. But they split four games with Cal. They did lose their two West Coast trips.
Right.
They swept at Stanford the first weekend, lost 2-3 to San Diego. But, you know, they did okay 2-1 in the Minute Maid. I mean, I don't think it's been a disaster.
No, it hasn't been disastrous. I agree. There's no doubt. But it's been a disastrous year for that league.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. Not a good year for Conference USA, and we'll hear about that, I'm sure, from Russ Anderson. In the Southland, Texas State, Southeast Louisiana, which has been on the worksheet for a while, but doesn't really have any more signature wins. But what was their big series? They won a 2 out of 3 on the road against like Southern Miss, I think it was.
That's no, I don't think that's it. They won a midweek game.
They swept Mississippi State. That was their big going outside the league. But again, Mississippi State, yeah, they're in the SEC. That old Brown Marion, which she used to be, though. So
yeah, I mean, you know, Southeastern Louisiana, I like the midweek wins against Tulane, South Alabama
right.
Is okay. You know, but other than that, I mean, there's not a whole lot here. They did lose a series last week at Lamar. Right now, I don't think this is an at-large team.
Yeah.
If they don't win the conference tournament.
Hard to say.
Texas State, I think, is. I mean, it's not a lock. But, you know, Texas State has played pretty well. You know, I think they're the team to beat in that league. I think that they're the team that's going to win that league.
I agree.
And they've got a mid-30s RPI right now. I think they're probably an at-large team.
I think Southeast Louisiana has a shot.
They're in the
40s.
Sure. Yep.
But they're going to have to really keep that. They're going to have to maintain. They're going to have to be first or second in the league in the regular season. Northwestern State, you know.
There are some RPI drains in this league, too. I mean, it's hard to imagine them.
Central Arkansas is an RPI drain. That's a great way to put that. And then the other, going back to the top 25 poll, the other part of Reggie's question, we want to thank Reggie again for the question at podcast@baseballamerica.com, was those Big 12 teams. We decided not to rank either Baylor or A&M.
Or Kansas State.
The Big 12, Aaron, he was focused more on the Texas side of that. Are Baylor and A&M both probably in? I mean, what's your take on you like the Aggies better than the Bears?
Yeah, I do. I think the Aggies will be in. They're, what are they, 20-10 right now, 6-5 in the league.
6-5-1, yeah.
6-5-1, that's right. But, they have a nice non-conference series win against Washington State, which I think will help if you're stacking up Big 12 teams and Pac-10 teams.
You're right.
As far as talent, I mean, I think they've got the talent to be strong in the second half. I still like their pitching a lot. They have big power arms.
One caveat I will say here is I don't know how they use him this weekend, but they've used John Stilson early and often.
Yes.
And there's a good chance that a guy who's in his first year Division I wears down in the second half under that usage. Rob Childress has a long track record of coaching pitchers and getting teams to regionals. He also has a long track record of, here's my favorite guy, and I'm going to use him a lot. You know, he's not the only college baseball coach who's like that. He did in Nebraska. He's done at A&M. We'll bear watching to see how.
I believe he did throw two innings Friday and two Sunday this week, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's much more tenable than didn't he throw Friday four last week on one game on the weekend. I'm pretty sure he threw four in a game. But that guy is a huge key to their season.
No doubt.
And the Big 12, the whole Big 12 season just took a little bit of a turn when Kansas's closer Brett Bochy.
Yeah.
Had Tommy John surgery on Friday. Kansas has shown some flashes, right. Winning a series at LSU, for example. But that league, first, I guess what we can say about the Big 12, Aaron, is I think for sure we don't think the Big 12 is going to have more than one number one seed. Is that fair to say right now?
I agree with that. I mean, they've got a chance. I mean, I think the RPI likes Oklahoma okay, and certainly the committee has a Big 12 bias. I think that's fair to say.
They did last year,
They
for
did
sure.
last year.
No doubt about
and,
that.
And the chairman is
the last
still a Big
2 years,
12 guy.
The last 2 years,
yeah.
A Big 12 team – that did not deserve to get in, gotten in.
So I would not be the slightest bit surprised if there is a second Big 12 team that hosts a regional or is a number one seed. At this point, I don't think any of them except Texas deserve it.
And then the thing is, Missouri, 7 straight years of the regional, they're on the outside looking in right now.
Oh, there's no question.
Oklahoma State's played nobody. They're struggling in the league. Kansas has had a nice year in some ways, but got swept this weekend. No shame in getting swept by Texas, the way Texas is playing. Texas is playing just tremendous baseball.
But Brett Bochy
without Bochy,
was a key
without
guy.
Without Bochy, it's really hard to see what they're going to do. Texas Tech's under 500 for the year. They do have some talent, but they're not putting it together.
They did win a series this weekend against Oklahoma State. They won a series last weekend against...
You like Texas Tech.
I mean, I don't love Texas Tech, but...
They were in their 64.
They won a series last weekend against Kansas State, so they've won 2 straight weekends. They stole a game against Texas.
Lost a series at A&M, but they didn't get swept. They've only gotten swept by TCU. That's
right.
Really it.
I mean, I think they've got a chance. I mean, they're again, they've got work to do.
They've got work to do.
They're under 500, but they've got a chance.
And with the predilection for the committee to like the Big 12,
yeah.
They've got a shot. But Texas, Kansas State, A&M, Oklahoma, Baylor.
It's a big muddle.
It's a muddle.
Texas, it's a giant muddle. And Kansas State is 6-3. They're in second place in the league, John. But
they haven't played
what is
a
there to get
team.
Excited about on the resume, really? They swept Oklahoma State. That's good. I don't think Oklahoma State's great, but that's still a decent series. I think it was on the road.
Yeah, there's not a lot to get excited about.
But they, and they lost last weekend again. They lost a series to Texas Tech.
Right.
Bounced back this weekend, took 2-3 against Nebraska. I mean, all right. I mean, I think Nebraska's one of the weaker teams in the league, but they've got a chance. Their RPI is okay. I still don't quite believe in their talent. They lost a lot off of last year's team. Give them credit for playing as well as they have.
Absolutely. Kind of the Western Kentucky argument, and we have Western Kentucky ranked. Really very similar stories. I think we have more faith in the top team, or maybe, it depends on the weekend, basically, who's the top team in the Sun Belt versus Kansas State right now that's played the bottom really more of the Big 12.
And Western Kentucky has one weekend that I like better than anything that Kansas State has done, and that is
going into the heart of the Big 12.
Right, going into Waco and beating Baylor, Texas State, and Texas A&M in three games.
That's right. And it was early, but that's better than anything on Kansas State's resume. There's no doubt about it. It's the Baseball America podcast with Aaron and John. And here's some questions on our Facebook page, Aaron, that we wanted to take. We have a lot of questions about Mike Leake. So props to Mike Leake. Always good to see a college guy go straight to the big leagues like that and kick some butt, absolutely. We have Theron Big Sherm Ladd. I'm going to say it's Theron Ladd. But we'll just call him Big Sherm. I'm from Pittsburgh. So the Pitt-Louisville series, a little disappointed in the Cardinals. Thought their bats looked a little slow. I also asked about the prospects of Pitt's Joe Leonard, who you've written about already this year. He didn't notice that. We've already written about him in the weekend preview. He has the size, but doesn't seem to have pro power. Does he profile for third base in the pros or first base? So the two parts of this question is, to me, are kind of like, how good is Pitt, where Joe Leonard is their best player? Do we consider Pitt for this week's rankings? And what does that say about the rest of the Big East? Because we did bring in UConn at 25 into the rankings and not Pittsburgh. So let's answer Big Sherm's questions, Aaron.
All right, well, a couple of things here. First of all, to address the Louisville part of this question, give Pitt credit. It's a huge series win. Louisville's for real. I mean, they had a bad weekend. It's the first bad weekend they've had all year.
Right. The first hickey for them all season.
And they showed a lot of character, I think, fighting back on that Sunday game when they were down and they were about to get swept. They showed, some of that explosive offense that they've got to rally from behind and salvage a game. It wasn't a good week, though. I mean, they also lost to Kentucky midweek.
Right. And that game means a lot. That's more than the average midweek game.
Yes.
Both those teams put some real import into that game because of the rivalry. There's no doubt about it.
I think Louisville's hosting ambitions took a little bit of a hit this weekend.
I think they're top 8 national
seed. I think
they'd have to almost run the table the rest of the year to be a top 8 national seed. I don't know what their RPI is. Obviously, you're saying this in a vacuum, and that's not the reality of the situation. But they really, to me, to be a top 8 national seed out of the Big East, they pretty much had to, not lose a series. And they lost one. And they might lose another one is what that means.
Yeah, but I still think they're for real. I really do like their offense. I mean, maybe their bats look slow this weekend, but they're deep, they're physical, they're athletic, they can beat you a lot of different ways.
That's what I like best about them.
I like them, and you know what, I like them in the bullpen. I mean, Neil Holland anchors a really deep, versatile staff. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're certainly the team to beat in the Big East. But
yeah, you pointed out in the weekend preview, the midseason update, how many good college closers are just having dominant seasons, and Neil Holland's season. It's not as good quite as John Stilson's, but
right.
Boy, it's ridiculous, and I think they are. I think they're definitely for real.
And I didn't even mention Matty Ott in that.
Because
his numbers aren't as good as those other guys, but he's obviously one of the best closers in the country too. That just shows you how good this crop of closers is. But
it is.
But anyway, to finish up with this question about Pitt, John, I think it's a decent little club. I think they have a chance to make a run in the Big East. I don't think they've got the RPI to get an at-large bid, so they're probably going to have to win the conference tournament. But they're not ranked right now because they lost a series to Rutgers last week.
A controversial series.
Well, Pitt is actually up to 42nd in the RPI now. How about that?
Controversial series that got Fred Hill Jr. Helped get him fired. Rutgers was looking at an excuse to get rid of their basketball coach. And if you haven't read about that, that's pretty interesting. The former basketball coach at Rutgers, the son of the head baseball coach, and a profanity-laced tirade that he unleashed upon the Pittsburgh baseball team and the umpires ended up costing him his job, which is... Again, there are clearly other factors there. But Pitt's got an outside shot. We think UConn. Obviously, UConn, really, Aaron, at the back of the rankings, and we should probably wrap up the podcast, we were really struggling on who to rank.
Yeah.
And we're struggling every week at the back of the poll. There is, after 15, you could take teams 16 through 50, basically, and make a case for them. I mean, Kansas State's in there. New Mexico has been on the out. New Mexico's been 26 to 30 basically all year.
Yeah.
Washington State, you could have made a case for it because they're just for beating Arizona State. I mean, yeah. There Oregon. Are a lot of teams. Yeah, Oregon, absolutely. There are a lot of teams that kind of deserve to be ranked and then don't deserve to be ranked. Why do we pick UConn? What made UConn our choice? I know why, but explain to the people.
They're hot. You know, they've won, what, 10
straight in a row. Now? And six of those were on the road.
Six of them. We had a nice 6-0 week. They swept the series against the Villanova team that had gotten off to a decent start. I mean, I don't think Villanova's great, but, but also they have a win against Ohio State earlier this year.
Right.
They went out to California, and I believe they at least won a series against Cal State Northridge.
They won 3-4 against Northridge, correct.
I mean, it's the resume is decent. I mean, is it a top 25 resume? I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Probably not. I mean, frankly, there's the one series that they played against a ranked team was Louisville on the road. They won 1 out of 3. That's all right.
Right.
There's not a really signature series win here, but we believe in their talent, and this is kind of like what we did with Virginia Tech last week.
Correct.
Connecticut's talented. I mean, they've got some really good sophomores. They've got some quality upperclassmen like the. Elliot Glynn's out there and the veteran guys.
Pierre LaPage at second base.
Sure, a good.
He's the Northeastern junior. Dustin Pedroia. Basically, what he is. He's the Dustin Pedroia of the Northeast, except for the fact that Dustin Pedroia plays for the Red Sox. On a college level.
Yeah, I don't know that Fear's got Dustin's power, but no. He is an undersized second baseman.
So undersized second baseman and a spark plug and a guy who plays beyond his tools, but also like defensively intangible. Scouts really like that stuff about him. They have a junior in Mike Gold who's having a difficult year. You expect him, he might get better. But the main thing is they've got some game changers, both on the mound and in the lineup.
George Springer and
Springer and Barnes. Yeah.
I mean, I think this team's a little more complete than Pitt. I wrote about Pitt in Weekend Preview, like you mentioned. I do like their team as well. I think it's a nice story. They're much improved. At the end of the day, I don't think they're quite a regional team. I think UConn probably is.
Always going to be interesting to look back and see the last time we ranked UConn.
Yeah.
I love going back into the archives with Jim Rishoner to hear and see how far back it's been since we ranked UConn. Anyone else in the top 25 that needs to be talked about here? We just touched on Virginia Tech a little bit. The Hokies won back-to-back series in the conference against Florida State and Miami.
Last week was the first time they've ever beaten Florida State, and this week is the first time they've ever beaten Miami in a series.
And a sleeper alert out there, I guess, if you call an SEC team a sleeper, is Auburn.
Yeah.
And you called this on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I believe. Auburn getting – maybe it was on the Weekend Preview. Auburn's getting healthy. No, it was in the Field of 64. We talked about it.
Right.
And putting Auburn in is that Auburn survived without some of their key pieces. But talk a little bit about Auburn and how they've gotten healthy and better.
Yeah, they have gotten healthy. I mean, obviously Casey McElroy returned from his injury quicker than expected as a key guy as their starting shortstop. Trent Mumme, their leadoff man, the center fielder, is back in the lineup now.
Those are pretty important pieces.
Key pieces. I'm very impressed that they were able to stay afloat the way they did without those guys. To win a series this weekend against LSU is huge for them. Auburn did lose their last two weekends before this, but they were tough series.
They didn't get swept.
They didn't get swept. But now they're 7-5 in the SEC, which is obviously a great place to be. They played a lot of ranked teams.
A lot of teams that wish they were 7-5 in the SEC, sure. Like Alabama. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, especially Vanderbilt, team was supposedly with more talent, probably does have more talent, but just can't quite put together against more talented teams this year. In the league, losing a series at home to South Carolina. South Carolina, we obviously like quite a bit. They vindicated that top 10 ranking from the preseason, doing with even better pitching than I think we thought they had. But still, Vanderbilt's got to win that series.
At home, I agree. Vandy has now lost 3 out of their 4 conference series. Auburn has won 2 of its 4, including a huge win against LSU. So Auburn has played 13 games against the top 25, and they're 5-8. It's okay.
Right.
So what the heck? We brought Auburn in. There were not a lot of strong candidates at the back of the rankings.
You got somebody Auburn better.
UConn, on your man.
Exactly. Last thing, we'll wrap up the podcast. Charlie Shields on our Facebook page asked, Zach Cox on a midseason All-American. He's batting .480 and slugging .800 in SEC play. And Aaron, we did struggle. Obviously, those are probably updated stats counting this weekend.
Right.
But we did struggle. We wanted to find a spot for Zach Cox on our midseason All-America team. There really just wasn't a spot. But if you haven't checked out our midseason All-America team, you need to check it out because AJ KJ's on there. everybody loves AJ KJ.
AJ Kirby Jones, for those of you who aren't familiar with Tennessee Tech, had a huge year. And that's, you know, the reason Zach Cox didn't make our team, first, the biggest reason is that he wasn't even slugging 600 overall. And you know, he's had a really good year. I'm very impressed with the progress he's made offensively. You know, he's striking out less. He's walking more. His batting average is way up. He is hitting for some power, but he hadn't been hitting for a ton of power. Slugging was less than 600. If you compare his numbers with Andy Rendon, who's slugging 700 when we did this last week, and have an on-base of 525, I mean...
And having to do it all himself, basically. Yeah, the rest of the Rice team is just not getting her done, so...
Yeah, I agree. You know, Cox has been very good, but not better than Rendon for me.
And we put AJ Kirby Jones on the team. He was leading the nation in home runs at the time. Granted, it's Tennessee Tech, but it was 406, 554, 934. I mean, it just was ridiculous. So we did put a few SEC players on there. Obviously, Micah Gibbs, Hunter Morris, our catcher, and our first baseman, both on there. And Drew Pomeranz, our midseason really player of the year, I guess. He was our midseason pitcher of the year. Zach Cox could be in the running for college player of the year, though. There's a college hitter having a dominant season out there, and if he gets a little hot with the power and can maintain the batting average, I can easily see that guy being our college player of the year. He's on the short list. There's no doubt about it, even though he wasn't on the midseason All-America team. So.
That's just because the best player in the country is a third baseman in Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, and it would be nice if the best player in the country had the rest of his team playing well against him, or around him, I should say. Well, again, for last week, we didn't get to Joe Lucchese's questions. He asked about Derek Dietrich. We've talked a little bit about Derek. We won't be able to get to Joe's questions today, but we do thank Joe for the email. We thank Reggie for the email. podcast@baseballamerica.com is the email address. So you can always post the questions to our Facebook page, or heck, you can just ask Aaron on Twitter at twitter.com/AaronFitt. So,
and if you've got something else for the college mailbag, you can always send that to collegeblog@baseballamerica.com.
I forgot about that. We love the mailbag. Weekly mailbag, that's on Wednesdays at baseballamerica.com college blog. So for Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel, reminding you that when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right and visit your nearest Demo House today. Locations and full details can be found at DeMarini.com/Demo House. We'll see you next week on the Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.